sexual misconduct, bribery, and cheating are popping up on the Defense Department's ethics radar screen. Lack of accountability because of unclear guidance is one possible cause, according to the Government Accountability Office. Brenda Farrell's Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at GAO, and she's been studying the issue. Brenda, thanks for coming on today. What's the history of the Pentagon studying values-based ethics training and professionalism? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Yes, values-based ethics differs from compliance-based or rules-based ethics. Most people are familiar with compliance-based. That is when military personnel are required to adhere to a set of statutes, laws, regulations. It relates to matters such as financial disclosure, gift receipt, outside employment, and other matters. Values-based ethics, though, built on a compliance-based program, and it focuses on upholding a set of ethical principles in order to achieve a higher standards of conduct. And in 2008, DoD had a panel on contracting integrity that conducted a study and recommended DoD develop a values-based program that would complement its existing rules-based program. The rules-based program is run primarily by DoD's general counsel, oversees and administers that program. Back in 2008, the panel thought that the ethics program may have provided the false impression that promoting an ethical culture was the responsibility of general counsel. And that study noted that integrity is a leadership issue and therefore everyone's concern, not just general counsel, and DoD should move forward. That panel did a study again in 2009 and in 2010 and reinforced their recommendation that DoD needed such a values-based program, but DoD hasn't moved forward to have a DoD department-wide values-based program.
That primarily lives right now in the various services. They each have their own offices, and I hear the offices, both uniformed and civilian personnel, talking extensively about integrity and creating a values-based ethical culture and so on. Why is the formalization of that regarding a framework and metrics to measure it so important, do you think, Brenda?
Well, again, DoD has a framework in place for its rules-based program. It's a decentralized program. They have 17 designated agency ethics officials that administer and oversee, and the General Counsel Office at the Office of Secretary of Defense level helps coordinate all that. But in 2012, building on the other studies that I mentioned, DoD actually contracted out to assess how they could design such a values-based program. Their survey that they did in order to help them design the program had several points, one of which was that employees, DoD employees, believe that DoD rewards unethical behavior to an extent that's well above average. A second point was that employees fear retribution for reporting commander misconduct to an extent that, again, is well above average. And a third point from that study was that employees who acknowledge receiving training or information was comparatively low compared to other organizations. So they made 14 recommendations of how to establish such a program. Again, this is back in 2012. DoD's partially implemented one of the 14 recommendations by annually delivering a values-based program to those who are required to submit financial disclosures. That training emphasizes core values, highlights cases of misconduct, and features senior leader involvement. And in 2014, DoD reported that about 5% of its total workforce had received such training. So that's why it's partially implemented. Only 5% of the workforce has received this training. So they have a lot of people who have not benefited from having this. And at this time, DoD tells us that no action is planned on the remaining 13 recommendations to move forward with a values-based program.
Do we have a sense that that training has been useful for the 5% that took it? Is that potentially, albeit a very small bright spot, a bright spot on this landscape, Brenda? Or do we not know enough about it because it hasn't been very widely deployed yet?
Well, I think that it's a significant population. 5% is small compared to the total population, but it's 146,000 people. But that's one time, and DOD has not developed any performance measures to measure the activities that it is doing to see how well they are making progress in fostering some type of ethical culture. It just doesn't exist at this time.
The other item that you write about in this management framework is a 2-year potentially renewable position for senior advisor for military professionalism. What did you learn about that position and the way that it's viewed inside the Pentagon as you examined it, Brenda?
Yes, that was a position that the Secretary of Defense established. It followed a series of high-profile investigations into misconduct by those at the very senior level, the general flag officer level. This person, the senior advisor for military professionalism, is a 2-year appointment with the option to renew. Currently, that term would be up in March 2016. The advisor reports directly to the Secretary of Defense and is responsible for coordinating and integrating DOD's ethics programs department-wide, as well as make recommendations to the Secretary as to how best to enhance the programs they have or make changes. At this time, we don't know if that position's going to continue. DOD has not made a formal announcement, but in their comments to us, they kept talking about that position ending in 2016. That position is at the Office of the Secretary of Defense level. There are individuals from the services that are detailed to help that advisor with their major task. The advisor had a 1-year plan of major tasks to accomplish. We looked at that plan. We had some concerns because there were no time frames or metrics to understand how the senior advisor's position and office was going to accomplish what it set out to do. So, in other words, there's no way to tell when the office had completed its major task and how they were going to inform the decision whether or not they should continue. Some of the officials in the advisor's office noted that they thought the activities that the office had established would be self-perpetuating efforts that would just keep cropping up throughout the department. But, you know, there's nothing institutionalized to make that happen or oversee those many efforts. And at the same time, officials noted that the work of the office is necessary and that the function should exist well beyond the 2-year term.
Is your concern the perpetualization of that office or the perpetualization of the concepts that the office is supposed to represent, Brenda?
DOD has a number of activities that they have ongoing or planned to help improve their ethical culture. But there's no way to tell what's working and what's not working. And we are in an environment with fiscal constraints. We believe that these programs should be targeted and there should be metrics to tell what is working so that the resources could follow accordingly.
Brenda, the work that you and your team have done is terrific. The recommendations are posted as part of this report at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And I thank you very much for coming on and talk about it with me today.
Thank you for having us.